going through situations right now with the flu, and it's a serious issue. Welcome back, Minister Jandell Walker. It's a serious issue. But this church and our people, and maybe you, you're being affected by other things. There's people that have cancers that are going on that we know of. There's people that are going through other physical situations that are not flu-like. They're biological situations that we're dealing with. So the enemy is attacking us, and any time the enemy attacks, something big is about to happen. Amen? I say that something big is about to happen. Something big is about to happen. God is about to shake a few things up right now in the name of Jesus, and the enemy is trying to distract us. Amen? Now, I don't know if you came and you saw me and my wife sitting in the car this morning, but on the way here, we were talking about how the enemy is trying to distract us from what he has destined us to do. So I think that there are some things going on in your life right now that the enemy is distracting you from what God wants you to do. So we have things like frustration and aggravation and disappointment coming into our lives. But those are sources and those are tricks of the enemy that he's trying to use to confuse you and not let you do what God has destined you to do. So I say that as we go off of our fast, stay on a fast. As we come off our knees, stay on your knees. As we stop praying, you need to start praying more. Because the enemy's not going to give up. He's just going to attack and attack and attack. But you can withstand anything that the devil can do. Because we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. I was listening to a minister this morning, and he said, we can't fight this battle by ourselves because he's stronger than us. But we can fight this battle through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? So if you don't know how you're going to win, the only way you're going to win is through Christ who is going to strengthen you. My text this morning, some people don't like to give texts, but I like to give texts because I want you to know where I'm coming from, where the Lord has led me to, and if you don't take anything home with you, you can always take the text. Amen? So the text this morning is the thing that cannot be shaken. Turn around to somebody and say, the thing that cannot be shaken. I want to say that again. The thing that cannot be shaken. We can't avoid feeling that there's some things, major changes that are taking place around us. Amen? When we look at our family, some of us, we see that old sense of family that we used to have. We don't feel that no more. Things are changing. Amen? Some of the things that we were used to, you used to send your kids to school so that the education system can teach them a few things. And that's not really happening, right? They're not educating our children anymore. There are new forms of racism that are evident today. And the nation that we live in, it don't seem like it have a direction. When I was growing up, it seemed like we knew that there was a direction the United States of America was headed to. Amen? I venture to say if you come from Jamaica, there was a time that you were growing up, it seemed like people knew where they were doing or what they wanted to do, and the young people were headed towards a certain direction. Amen? See, because I don't care where you are on this earth, it seemed like no matter where we used to be headed, we don't seem to be headed no place, no more. It just seems like a ball of confusion. Amen? The Bible says that this is an age on ages that is telling. Now, somebody is going to say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? That's because the Bible speak of ages. It don't speak of years. It speak of ages. The Bible speaks of the age is changing. We've already been in a Christian age, right? So where is this age of AIDS going to? It don't seem like it's moving back to where it used to be. It seems like it's going somewhere where we don't want it to be. Amen? But ages are based on religious events. We've been in different ages since the creation, since Adam and Eve. Amen? And we're going to be going in ages until the end time, until Revelation has occurred. Now, both testaments, the old and the new, speaks of ages as an unspecified period of time. But regardless of the time, God still rules in that age. So we don't know how long this age that we're in is going to occur, but God is still in control. Amen? We may not notice all the time, but every now and then when we look in the mirror, we see another gray hair. We might see another little wrinkle that we didn't see before. Amen? Some of the children, we might notice a little bit of more bass in their voice. All of a sudden, they got a mustache. Our children, our daughters are starting to sprout out. Things start happening. Then we notice in this time that things are changing. Like me, I like to look at my daughters and think that they're my little girls. Most men like to look at their daughters and say, oh, that's my little girl. But they get bigger. Mothers look at their sons and they say, that's my little boy. But they get bigger. And then we notice that time is changing and time moves on. And it don't wait for nobody. Amen? We in some high, bright and happy times like to say, oh, I wish that this moment could last forever. It cannot. We say things like when things are really going your way, we say, I hope this never changes, but it will. Almost all the things that we're thinking when things are pleasant and familiar, we just love that because we always go back to that time. Oh, remember the time. Amen? But if you have to remember, that means that time has gone by. Amen? We are creatures of habit. We like to hang around and be in familiar settings and around the people that we know and we understand. But when something happens, when there's a sudden force that shifts us into a new circumstance and new requirements, we get shaken up and we complain. Amen? The new, the strange, it irritates us. It unsettles us. It leaves us feeling nervous and apprehensive. Amen? When something new happens, we don't necessarily grab to it or gravitate to it right away. Sometimes it takes time. Even with the baby, we love the new baby. Amen? But things change, and it takes time for us to get used to some things because the baby puts a change into our lives. Amen? And change comes. And a lot of times when change comes, it's hard. And it is painful. And sometimes we feel like everything that used to be nailed down is coming loose. But in this scripture, the writer makes full recognition of the sweep and the collapse of things both large and small. So in Hebrews 12, 25 to 27, it says this: see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on the earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken remain. I'm going to go back to a couple of weeks ago, and it seems like it just keeps coming up. The scripture is implying that Jesus can shake things that have been created and things that have been made. But he can't shake what cannot be shaken. So we go back again to creation, and we know that in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Right? So when God is going to come back and he's going to speak to us, he's going to shake heaven and he's going to shake earth. And the scripture is implying that when Moses was here, he was his representative of God. And they didn't listen to Moses. And when Jesus Christ was here and went to heaven, they didn't want to listen to him when he went to heaven. But he says, there's going to come a time that I'm going to come back and I'm going to speak and I'm going to shake heaven and I'm going to shake earth. So there's going to be nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. When Haggai was talking, the prophet, he also wrote in the Old Testament and the New, and in Hebrews is in the New Testament. Well, I read Hebrews. You see, what happened in the Old happened in the New. In the Old Testament, he said, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are made, that not those things which cannot be shaken shall remain. Now, I'm going to venture off to the side here a little bit. Everything in this life is something that's made. So everything in this life is going to be shaken to its core. So whatever you're holding on to, you need to hold on to something that cannot be shaken. Now, we know of a lot of things that can be shaken. We have seen the shifting and the sifting of people's souls. Amen? As we sit around here this morning, we know that our health can be shaken. We've seen the decline and disappearance of so many of our family and our friends because their health has been shaken. We walk around here with a lot of money in our pocket, a nice car, a big house, and I'm telling you today that your prosperity can be shaken. We see people who are on the up for a while, but then hard times come and they're on their way down. It can be shaken. We see popularity and influence can be shaken. Oh, right now we see so many people that were in high places, high profile, lots of money. Now all of a sudden what's coming out with this hashtag Me Too. Come on, hashtag Me Too. They're being shaken. And this is not something that they just did yesterday. This is something they did years ago. You see, your history and the things that you do follow you. The Bible tells me what was covered will be uncovered. What was done in darkness is going to come to the light. There's things that have been shaken, but there's a lot of other things that cannot be shaken. Amen? You see, we see a lot of things, like if we were walking around and you see these buildings that they're building. Matter of fact, you don't even know what they're building. You think that you know that they're building a building. So they got this empty lot, and all of a sudden they got the boards and the screens and the chains, and you don't know what they're building. Everything looks all ragtag. But after a while, you start seeing things coming up. And they start taking all the ragtag things away so you can see what is being built. I venture to say that as citizens of Christ, we all ragtag. There's all kind of lumber and chains and stuff all around us. But as God builds us up, he starts removing those chains and those bricks and those pieces of wood so the world can start seeing what's coming up. I want you to think about the thing that cannot be shaken. For many years, no matter how far you go back, sailors, if they wanted to know where they were going, there was something that they could look at. There's one star called the North Star. It hardly ever moves. It is always right there. They can always judge and identify, are they on course or they're not on course. For ages. You want to know how Columbus got to America? That star will never change. So if I go to the right, I must be going to the east. And if I go to the left, I must be going to the west. If I go away, I must be going south. Jesus Christ is our North Star. So no matter where we are in life, if we're too far to the left or too far to the right or too far back, all you have to do is look at that star and you will know where you're going. Because that star called Jesus Christ cannot be shaken. It don't make a difference if it's a little ship or a big ship. It doesn't make a difference if you're a little person or a big person. It don't make a difference if you don't have any money or you have a lot of money. It don't make a difference if you're black or if you're white. That star will always show you where you are in Christ. But more than that star, our God is greater. Our God is bigger. Our God is eternal. Amen? He never sets. He's always there. He is the God of our faith, and he always abides. Amen? This thing that we know about changes and alters a little bit, but God never changed. This God I'm talking about is the same God that walked through the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden to talk to Adam and Eve. This God is the same God that told Moses from the burning bush, Moses, you're on holy ground. This God is the same God who told Jesus when he was baptized, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is the God that told Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. It is your time. The Lord does not change. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, in the 90th song, they sing it like this. Lord, you have been my dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. When he wrote that you were from generation you know, we like to do this thing with our DNA now and find out who our ancestors were. We go back maybe a couple hundred years, 300-400 years. We know that man has been in existence for more than thousands of years, amen? Because you got BC and then you got AD, right? The Bible is telling you that he has been here from generations to generations. He knew you before you were born. He knew you in your mom's womb. Amen? Our fathers looked to God, and he found that he never failed. We need to look to God and know that God never fails. Amen? God, when he promises something, he never, ever takes back his promises. Now, I'm going to ask each and every one of you in here today, who in here has never reneged on a promise? I know I have many times. But God has never, ever reneged on a promise. Amen? In Isaiah 54 and 10, it says the mountains may move. First, before the mountains were born. But now he's saying the mountains may move and the hills may shake. But my kindness will never depart from you. My promise of peace will never change, says Yahweh, who has compassion on you. What I want to say to you this morning is that God's love, Jesus Christ's love for you, is the thing that will never be shaken. What he's done for me and what he can do for you, it will never shake. When he came down and all the things that he went through for me and for you, it never wavered one bit. He didn't second guess himself. He didn't want to rewrite the contract. He did what he came to do. Amen? It's his love is never shaken. Amen? Christ, in his love for us and in his power to save us and everyone, does not change. You see, we do things like this. We say, you know what? You changed, so now I'm going to give you a few minutes to change back. I'm going to give you a couple of months. I'm going to give you a couple of years. But you better get your act together. Because if you don't, you have a deadline on it. Amen? Come on, somebody. You're in a relationship with somebody, and they upset you to no end. You say, you know what? You better get it together. You even give them a time period. You know, it, by the end of this week, by the end of this month, you give them a deadline. Even when we do something illegal, there's something called a statute of limitations, where you got a certain amount of time to take me to court because of the wrong that I did to you. Amen? Christ doesn't have a statute of limitation. He loved you from the day that you were born until the day that you die. So I'm here today to tell you that from the day that you're born until the day that you die, Jesus loves you, and until that point in time, you still have a chance. But here's the caveat. No man knows the time, the day, when that's going to happen. So you're gambling with your life when you say, I'm going to do it then, or I'm going to do it now. Before you know it, it's going to crap out on you. I told you I ain't always been a pastor. And everything that you got is just going to be gone. The love of Christ and his love of us, and John 6 and 37 puts it this way. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. That means he loves his own. He loves us to the end. Amen? He says, and it goes further. It says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. So not only does he tell you why he came, but he's going to tell you another reason why he was sent. He came to do the will of who sent him. Now he's going to tell you the will of the one who sent him. He says, and the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all of those he has given me. He is don't want to lose none. That's his job, to lose none of each and every one of us. So that means no matter how big a sinner you are, you can be the greatest sinner in the world. He still loves you, and he's not giving up on you. Because you are still part of that mantra he was given from the one who sent him, that his will is to lose none of us. He said, but to raise them up at that last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son. I just need to stop right there. I just really need to stop right there. Because I want you to realize what he's saying. He's saying, I'm going to come down here to do the will of the one who sent me, which is the Father. Then he turns around and he tells you what the Father's will is. But then he also says that they have to come through the Son. So this is for all the people who think that they can go straight to God themselves. You cannot. You have to go through the Son that was sent by the Father. Now, I know each and every one of us know people who say they know God. You know of him. You can only know him through his Son. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up in that last day. So, it says, you must believe in the Son. And the Son says, I will raise them up in the last day. God is not coming down here to raise you up. The Son is coming down to raise you up. And in order for you to raise him to raise you up, you must believe in him. When he says all, that means that every individual that the Father has given him should come. God didn't make this world just for him. He created it, but he passed it off to his Son. Jesus Christ inherited each and every one of us, the earth and everything in it. He said, Son, this is yours. You know how you give your son or your children something? Son, this is yours. We are his. He's our Lord and Savior. He takes ownership of us. Amen? Just like you take ownership over your children, we are his children. He takes ownership over us. Amen? He said, the Father giveth me. Now let me change that, or let me explain that a little bit. If I take your bike, you say, no, you can't take it. My daddy gave it to me. And you don't care if I'm your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, or your uncle. My daddy gave it to me. Jesus is saying the same thing here. My Father gave it to me. The Father giveth me. Who shall come to me? This expression means those that will believe in Christ. To the one implies our need of help, our confidence. He can aid us. Amen? You need help in things that you have to do? You go to the Son, and he'll help you. Amen? It says, him that cometh, everyone that come. See, you don't have to come. There's a choice. You don't have to come. You come when you want something. But he that comes freely. Come on. Him that comes freely. Don't you want free love? You don't want to have to pay for love. You don't have to pay for love from him. His love is free. He that come, I'm going to aid him. I'm going to aid her. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to look out for them. When he said, when you look out for people, that don't mean you give them all the money they want. That don't mean you give them everything that they think that they need. Do you give your children all that they want? Do you give them what they need? You could give them all that they want if you want to, but I guarantee you in about 10 years, you're going to have something on your hands you can't control. And then you're going to be looking for help because they're going to be out of control. This him that cometh, this invitation is wide, it's open, and it just shows the unbounded mercy of God. And it shows that the reason and the only reason that men are saved or not saved is because either they come to Christ or they don't come to Christ. When he says in the scripture, in no wise, he mean in no manner, in no at no time. He says, I will not cast them out. He does not say you got 50 years or else you ain't got another chance. He don't say that. He says, whenever you come, I'll take you. Don't we wish all relationships that we have with people were like that? We like to say, you either come now or just stay home. Come now, don't come at all. But his love, his grace, and his mercy towards us is like, whenever you come, I'm waiting for you. I'll be ready. I love you right now. So let's look at the events, and let's look at the journey that Jesus did on our behalf. Amen? This is the love that he put out there for us. You see, he loves us even though we're the guiltiest of all sinners. Somebody say amen. He loves us when he was brought down from heaven. You see, somebody say amen. He was brought down just like that little baby over there. Can you imagine God being helpless just like the little baby over there? Needing somebody to nurture him, to carry him around because he couldn't walk. Somebody to feed him. This is God. Somebody to feed him. They didn't have Pampers then. Somebody to change whatever they had. Wipe him clean. Wash him off. He needed somebody to do that. But he's God. But he needed somebody to do that. He went through all of that for us. Amen? You see, this is the love that he had. The love shut him up in the womb of Mary. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't like to be all locked up into something. So thank God I didn't know what I was going through when I was a baby. But he knew what he had to go through. And God came down and was locked up into the womb of a woman for 9 months. Love shut him up in the tomb. That Joseph gave him when he died. Love was the thing that let him get his hand tied up in cords. Love was the thing that allowed him to get whipped to almost to death for us. Love was the thing that had him weeping over the city of Jerusalem before he went into that city. Love was the things that let him get his nails forged into his hands on the cross. Love was the thing that brought him to tears as he saw his friend dead, already dead, his friend Lazarus. Love was the thing that brought him to these things. Love was the thing, the groaning, the pain that he went through on the cross for you and I, the agony that he went through. He went through it because of love. Love stopped him at the well and told the woman at the well, you don't have to worry, sin no more. Love was the thing that he accepted her in spite of how society said you're an outcast. Love was the thing that let the woman with the issue of blood just touch the hem of his garment and was clear. Love. Love is the thing that got us up this morning, that woke you and I up. Love is the thing that got you a job so you can get the things that you get today. Love is the thing that made him find somebody and who will love you on this earth in a relationship. Love is the thing that allowed your children to be born healthy. Love is the thing that allowed those things to be happening. The Bible says, oh, God, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life. I don't love you that much. I'm not giving you my son. But he loved us so much. We use that word like it's dirt. Oh, I love you. We don't have that kind of love, but it was that love that he had for us. Amen. It was that love as he was dying on the cross. Between two thieves. The one made a mockery, and the other one said, can I go be with you? That even in all of his pain, he remembered what the Father said, so that none would be lost. Even in dying, he kept the mantra and the will of his Father, so that none would be lost. In all of that pain, he turned to him and said, you'll be with me in paradise. My toe hurts, I'm ready to fuss with you. My back hurts, I'm ready, I wish I could kick you. He's in all of that pain, and he still showed grace, and he still showed mercy. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus saves us. He has the power to save every man and every woman. God never changes. His love for us is that thing that never changes. Oh, hallelujah. It never, ever changes. Let every man and every woman, you could be as miserable as you want to be and ashamed, but he loves you anyway. We are miserable people. We're people that are ashamed of things that we've done. But he loves you just the same. Some of us are so confused out of our mind, we don't even know what we're doing. But he loves you anyway. Some of us are so crushed by the things that the devil does to us in this world. But Jesus Christ loves you anyway. You're confused and you're defeated, but he loves you anyway. You're tired and you're troubled, but he loves you anyway. You're tired, you're sad, you're in agony, but he loves you anyway. I want you to listen to his promise. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All those who rage against you will purely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be nothing and perish. Those you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. I am the Lord thy God. I take your right hand. Do not fear. I will help you. I don't know who's in here today, what you're going through, but he says, do not fear. Do not be dismayed, because I, your God, will hold you in my right hand of righteousness, and I will take your hand. Don't you want some assurance? When you want assurance, don't you hold somebody by the hand? Come here, first lady. Come here, girl. When you want to show, you take somebody by the hand. You're getting ready to go see somebody that you want to see. They could be laying in the casket. You hold somebody's hand. You need some strength. Oh, my God. You want somebody to hold your hand in those situations. When you go to see the judge, you want somebody to hold your hand. You say, Mom, come on with me. Mom, you going to be there for me? You want somebody to hold your hand. When you're in the hospital, when you're on your deathbed, you want somebody to hold your hand. When you're going through situations, your boss is ready to fire you, you want somebody to hold your hand. You're going to be praying to somebody. You're going to be asking for somebody. Because the Bible tells me there's going to be a reckoning day for each and every one of us. You're going to want somebody to hold your hand. And you want to know something? When you're in situations, everybody don't want to hold your hand. My name is Wes. I ain't in that mess. Go ahead. Hallelujah. The thing that cannot be shaken is the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Let us stand.